Ronnie's been laid up. I had to go to the grocery store and she told me to get 6 cans of Sprite. And when I got home, I realized I picked 7-Up.
God bless you.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever
That's heard. That's lame as hell. God damn it.
Not true.
That is 100% true.
Not true, sir. Hey, welcome to the Playing Through podcast, where we cut it up on current events in golf, which collectively here, 50 years experience in the golf industry, doing nearly every job there is to do. And if that's not enough for you, we're going to kick around some hot topics around the board in sports. So tune in, sit back, and enjoy the mind-numbing banter. Hey, on that note, so this last weekend was the Valspar.
Yeah.
And we had, and this is one of the things about the elevated events, taking some of the better players away, leaving spots like the Valspar for the new champions to come in. Like, give these other guys a little bit of a chance to cut their teeth on it. And this week we had Tyler Moore, who held off your boy, Jordan Spieth.
Yep. Because he still can't putt.
He could not save his he ass still can't, putting yeah, on no, the back nine.
No, he just still cannot putt.
Yeah.
Actually, Fleetwood had a shot there too.
Yep.
And is it Adam Schenk? Schenk? Yeah. What a terrible name to be a golf pro.
I thought it was Travis Schenk.
Travis Schenk. It might be.
It might be.
I don't do that anymore.
We shall see. Yeah, I've seen you hit some dead hosel rockets like 5 in a row.
into a house.
Yeah, which very good consistency too. I think they all landed on the porch. That's fine. Be able to kiss it off the hosel that consistent is saying something.
That's outstanding.
I digress. We went off kilter there. Tyler Moore, so first time winner on, and I believe he's a rookie, and he won almost $1.5 million for this event.
Wow,
solid.
So, and he had, let me see here. I believe he's at Tyler Moore's been on tour for a hot minute since 2016, but it is his first win.
Good for him.
University Stuck of Arkansas product. And one of the things about winning, isn't it? It's not just that it's a big financial windfall for these guys, but they get 2 years exempt on tour where now they can set their schedule. They don't have to do a limited schedule. It gives them a huge amount of FedEx points to possibly get them in at that year end rainfall, but also puts them into the Tournament of Champions to lead off the year in Hawaii. So you're basically going to Hawaii straight at the get for a huge payday.
Right.
I mean, it kind of sets it up. Once they get one win, it should kind of snowball because they get more opportunities to do it. Yeah. And even in the elevated events and whatever else this opens up for this guy.
Yeah.
But
Schenk was actually in contention at the Classic. During the COVID year, and I remember because we had to go. He hit the sidewalk on the side of 14, and it went almost down the hill on 15, almost to the bottom. It went well past the tee box. And then, it was game over. So,
and he folded.
Yeah, he folded right after that. But
I remember he was
in contention. Yeah, he was in contention for quite some time that tournament. I think at least 2 days he was in the top five.
I remember seeing it meme with, I can't remember, it was like Schenk, Divot,
and
or something. Like, their names were just terrible names to be on a leaderboard.
Well, didn't Travis send us that or something?
Yeah, probably.
I think I did.
Yeah,
Travis is the one who sent us that one.
Now, he's doing well on tour. If he could just break through and get that win,
right?
And I can't remember how many starts he'd had, but one of the big things about this last weekend, not only was a first time winner, but in the field. There was another golfer that made his 600th start on tour.
You're going to irritate me now, aren't you?
Yeah, Nacho's boy.
God damn it.
Rory Sabatini.
Nobody gives a shit.
And he had a top 16 finish, tied 16.
Oh, it just makes me puke.
I honestly think we should probably, in that hat. So 600 starts, he's had 6 wins, he's had 80 top 10s, $36 million in winnings. Chris, I think we start right here, right now, Rory Sabatini for the World Golf Hall of Fame.
You are just trying to piss me off now.
And we're going to tack on a silver medalist for his homeland of, wait for it, Slovakia.
He doesn't even speak that language.
No, he played the Olympic team.
Well,
he's the greatest Slovakian golfer ever.
Yeah. And given what I've heard about him, he probably had Slovakian prostitutes as well. The only reason he's tied to Slovakia.
Whoa.
I'm just saying.
That was one Christopher Lopez. Christopher Lopez.
Somebody's bitter.
So yeah, you don't think Rory said
he yelled at me at the Classic.
You're still butthurt about that?
Do your job.
No, seriously. He's complaining about popcorn on the thing, and his ball wasn't even anywhere close to it. He was just being a little whiny bitch.
Tell us what you really think, Chris.
Dude, I cannot stand that guy. Between him or Patrick Reed, I just no. If you bring those names up, all you're doing is trying to piss me off.
Okay, this one, yes, that exactly what I was trying to do was piss you off.
It worked.
World Golf Hall of Fame.
This was a few years ago. Rory Sabatini, and I think it was a twosome. Him and you remember Ben Crane?
Yeah.
Yep.
A good player, but
yeah,
just ridiculously slow. Like he was on the shot clock every tournament.
Every tournament.
And he was paired up with Rory Sabatini.
Oh boy. And
so Rory gets tired of waiting for him to, you know, do this whatever ruling he's looking for or going through his little ritual before he hits. So Sabatini just takes off down the fairway, walks right in front of him. He's like, no, I'm going up and hit my next shot. And he did. And they hit it onto the green. He finished out before that dude even got to his second shot.
I think wow. I remember seeing
that. You got to like that, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, if you're going to play slow, I mean.
He sounds like a good guy.
Well, I remember the commentator coming on and saying, I tell you what, if he did that and I was his playing partner, those white pants are getting dirty because I'm knocking him on his ass as soon as I get
there. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they said that on the broadcast, the commentator. Yeah, so Rory's got a checkered past a little bit.
Well, didn't he piss off Tiger once too?
Oh, I'm sure he's pissed off everybody on tour.
I was going to say everybody on tour.
Yeah,
that's my guess anyway. Hey, so speaking of tour, we're gonna roll it into the rollback of the golf ball. So just this last week, it's been 7 days ago now, that the USGA, which is United States Golf Association, and the RNA, which is Royal and Ancient, which is basically the European USGA for us, vice versa.
Right.
So they're in cahoots and they're wanting to roll the ball back for competition, for elite competition. And the reason for the rollback is using a certain ball, they want it to travel 25 to 30 yards less. So we're not making these old historic golf courses obsolete. Let's go around the horn. Jacob, what's your take on that?
What's it, about 5%, they say?
No, I think it was more than 5% because they were looking for a decrease of 20 yards. So I'm guessing that's more around the 8% for the big ballers.
Yeah. I mean, the regular golfer, what's the average drive of the normal amateur golfer though?
Oh, if you're and what's the normal handicap? Probably a 20, 25, something like that.
Yeah.
You're probably hitting it 210, 215.
I think Stagner said it's like 220 is the really? Average. Yeah, I mean, like the anywhere from the high, the middle to high handicapper is maybe 220, 225 on average.
So, but yeah, this is just for competition, though.
Right.
So, if they actually go forward with this, it really only affects a handful of events, but it's not just like the U.S. Open or the British Open or the Open. It would be their country's amateur ones too, like, so the USAM, the US mid amateur here, the junior, US junior AM, all that would use this ball too, I would assume, because it would be for all elite competition.
Right.
Now, how that affects the day-to-day golfer, it wouldn't, right?
No. It's not going to affect any of us.
Right. But
it would affect me.
The sale of, like, somebody will want to buy those golf balls, the rolled back golf ball, right? Because they want to say that they played what the pros play.
Are they going to sell those to the general public?
I don't know, but here's what I couldn't help think about. So it was probably 20 years ago or whatever that the coefficient of revelation came out, right? Like the trampoline effect on a golf face.
Yep.
With that, they made non-core conforming drivers. Guess which one sold more, the non-conforming or the conforming? The conforming. You don't see those non-conformings anymore because nobody wanted to play them. Right. They wanted to play what the pros are playing. And if they can't play a non-conforming driver, they didn't want to do it. So I think this, and the industry is going to say the same thing. I think like all the vendors, you know, Acushnet, Titleist, Callaway, all these are going to like, hey, why are we doing this? You know, it's going to affect our golf ball sales. And I think it's true, because why wouldn't they just roll out a 1995 Bellotta ball then? This is what we have to play all the time.
Yeah.
Because that's when really, and we've talked about this, in 2000 is when the golf, when the distances skyrocketed, and it was because of that, the solid core ball, the Titleist Pro V1 in particular.
Right.
You know, once that happened, you could get the spin from the polymer coat, the solid core distance. Mm-hmm. You got all the benefits of both worlds. And that's when everything went up. Well, now they're stretching the limits on the club faces and on the golf balls. So they're worried about this gaining 1 yard of distance per year and what it's going to do in 20 years to these golf courses.
Right.
So I don't know. That my take is that I think it's ridiculous. It's never going to be the same anymore. You know, our distances are going to be the distance. I don't care if we shoot 30 or they shoot 30 under. I would rather see that than scaling back their golf ball, because then we don't get their true performance. And on top of that, you're trying to tiger proof this stuff. You're actually making, if you roll that back, you're making it, the long hitters have even more of an advantage.
Right.
Because they're already hitting it further. And if they're 20 yards shorter than these other guys, and they're playing today's golf courses, the scores are going to go up, which is what the USGA definitely wants. They want every golf course to be even par to be a great round.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why the US Open's set up the way they are. And they're getting bitter because it's not. So their lashback, I think, is cut the distances.
I think it's a bad thing for golf. The evolution of a player from back in the 1980s to guys now being 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", like DJ, 220 pounds, you know, and then all the technology and all this other stuff that these guys can do to, you know, swing faster, make their bodies perform better, you know, stuff like that. It's always going to change. 20 years from now, it's going to be completely different from what it is right now. They'll probably be hitting it 360 then. Who knows?
Yeah. And there's actually an article in Golf Digest that talks just about that. So the today's athlete, they're training just for that. They're training for club head speed, right? Mm-hmm. They want to bomb it. That's not how guys trained back in the day. So then you put that in with the golf ball and the equipment standard now. Yeah, that's what these guys are going to try to do, is they're trying to overpower stuff. But guess what? That also brings OB and all these other things into play. So that's why I'm good with it. If you can piss pound it 320, piss pound it 320, bro.
Right. But I think it's your Go ahead, Chris.
No, go ahead. You were on it.
No, I was just saying it's their fault if they hit it 330 out of bounds. Right? You got to tee it up and hit it again. So it's on the player. It's not on anybody else or the equipment. The dude still has, or woman still has, to swing the golf club.
Well, and let's look at other sports that have tried to scale back things. I mean, there's a lot of sports. I mean, baseball is a classic example. I mean, you go to Colorado, they got baseballs in a humidifier or dehumidifier for what, you know, and things like that. It still hasn't stopped people from bombing it out of that place.
Well, you know, speaking of baseball, there was a time when the ball was wound, right? And it just, everybody was cool with it going out of the yard.
Yeah.
Well, then they wanted to kind of bring that back too. And really, was it the ball? Or was it the player? Because that was kind of the steroid era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think baseballs were made the same way. They were talking about the balls being juiced. No, it was every player juiced, including the pitcher.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the
things about the golf ball rolling back is in the 1970s, they were saying the test golf balls back then, they used 109 mile per hour, Well, now the tour average is 115, but we've all seen it. These guys all the time, especially the leaders, mm-hmm. their swing speeds are up in the 120s and they're getting ball speeds close to 180 or more.
Yeah.
Or more. Yeah.
So, the smash factor 1.5 with your swing speed to ball speed, these guys are just absolutely murdering it, man. They're getting close to that 125, 130 range. It's absolutely nuts, man.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a good point too, though. I mean, and this is true in all sports. I mean, training is different in all sports. All right. So, you guys know that I've followed swimming for a long time because of my kid, but they had these suits, Phelps and all these guys, swam in. And I think
the more buoyant suits, so it kept them out of the water a little bit.
Yeah. They had full body suits though. The men did. Mm-hmm. The men had full body suits and they broke a shit ton of records, but now they took them away and people are approaching those records, if not have broken them already, without the suit.
Right.
So it tells you that the training has changed. Eventually people do catch up. I think Nike's, people are saying Nike's got the advantage in running because they've got that shoe that is supposed to give them more spring and other shoes,
So you don't experience the leg fatigue and all that.
The leg fatigue and things like that. It doesn't make any difference whether you have those shoes. People are going to catch up to whatever technology you get to,
because it's not going to matter anymore.
The training's going to change. Look at basketball. You look at the players from 50 years ago, they don't look anything like the kids that you see playing today. Nothing like that at all.
Back in the day, they would say you can't do bench press because it's going to throw off your shot and all this kind of stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and remember when Tiger started pumping weights and all of a sudden the whole tour's like, damn.
Yeah. There was always this running thing about none of them worked out. And because they knew once one of them did, they all would have to.
Right.
Right. So
Tiger came in, Gary Player before that, there's mm-hmm. no way the dude that stature should have been there, but he worked his ass off to get into shape,
right.
which was the, not the norm back when he was doing it.
Right.
He's still that.
Yeah. He's and getting around great.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's he 84 now?
Yeah.
84, 85.
And he still does 1,000 pushups a day or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus. The guy's in shape. He's like the Jack LaLanne of
yeah, exactly. I think that was his inspiration, actually.
Yeah. I think it was because, and I don't know if Travis even knows who Jack LaLanne is, but and no. Bill and I know who he is.
Yeah. That's real old school right there.
I haven't done 1,000 pushups in my life.
Same.
Whoa. What?
You mean cumulative? I haven't. You mean cumulative?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. You never went to Catholic school then.
Certainly never went to the Marine Corps.
Yeah, exactly. I bet I did
1,000 in the first 5 minutes I was there.
I was just gonna say that's just getting off the bus.
Yeah.
The college workouts that we had, push-ups, pull-ups, and dips and stuff like that, I always skipped them. I never fucking did them.
Dips were that was one of the big workouts for wrestling, actually.
Those suck.
Do the dips and dips and pull-ups, and that's actually part of the physical fitness test for the Marine Corps. We actually don't do push-ups in the Marines. You do pull-ups.
Ooh.
So you do pull-ups, sit-ups, and a 3-mile run.
I can honestly say I don't think I've ever accomplished a pull-up.
Me neither. I haven't either.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Never.
Iffy over here.
Iffy.
Ever, Jacob? I picture you as a little dude weighing 60 pounds, being able to rip them out. No.
Oh no. I always had to do the first one, had to run and kick off the wall to get it and then pull myself up.
Yeah. So one.
I get about 3 quarters.
And then shake start. Ah!
Up there and then drop.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I was never good at push-ups until I went in, or I'm sorry, of pull-ups until I went into boot camp. And then I would do 10 pull-ups every night before we had to do we had 1 hour at the end of our day for, they called it shit shower and shave. So you had to get all your stuff organized, ready, get cleaned up, blah, blah, blah. So I would always do that before, we hit the rack kind of thing. So at the end, because our physical fitness test to get a perfect score, you had to get 20 pull-ups. So going into it, that. So by the end, they called it a 300 PFT. If you ran the 3 miles in 18 minutes or less, you had to do, I believe it was 70 sit-ups and then 20 pull-ups to max out. So start out, I do my 3 mile run. Then we do the sit-ups, then we jump onto the pull-up bar. Get on the pull-up bar, and I'm going to town, just trying to zone out and do the pull-ups because I want to get the perfect score, right? Or to the max score of 20. Mm-hmm. And I'm closing my eyes, and the drill instructor's right there. They're on this platform just yelling at you, you know, what you would see in a movie.
Right.
And I'm going like,
you worthless piece of
just
shit.
Going, oh, yeah, yeah. Get down, stars of it. Just barking at you. So I'm going, and like I said, I just got my eyes closed. I'm just going. And then pretty soon I hear 22, 23. And I look up and he said, you're going for the record. And I said, sir, what's the record, sir? And he says, like 114. Sir, no, sir. And I just dropped off. Because out of his zone, I didn't hear him get to 20 or I would have dropped right then. But
yeah. Ooh, damn.
That's funny.
Yeah. Sir, no, sir. I am not doing that. I was lucky to get to that number.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've been thinking about it, and I didn't really have this on the agenda for today, but I want to talk about John Morant for a minute. And I know you guys know what he did, but can you enlighten us?
Pulled a gun on a 17-year-old kid.
Drunkenly allegedly. Pulled a gun. Allegedly. Yes. He was, and he just finished up, what was it, an 8-game suspension? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So he's just coming back. But didn't this stem from he was at a strip club drunk?
Yep.
And then, he posted something on,
it was
he
on,
posted
he on was streaming Instagram. It, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then he had something on Instagram as well.
So you guys know how old he is?
That had to be a stripper's gun. That was too small to be like.
Oh, I don't know. Just sporting. I don't know. How old? How big is he?
Well, he's got to be
6'4".
Yeah. Could jump the hell out of a gym.
6'4". Yeah. He's probably 25.
He's 23. I looked it up. And here's why.
I got pants older than that.
I was thinking at. I don't know what it's like to be, you know, a professional athlete at 23 years old and having literally, I don't know, he's got to have millions in the bank, right? Or at least millions in holdings. But I do know what it's like to be a 19-year-old Marine with $400 in your pocket every 2 weeks. And the decisions I made then and what this guy's making now, I'm not going to like crap on him because of where he was at. Now, it's pretty dumb to have a gun anywhere around when you're, you know, in an altered state.
Right.
But man, I tell you what, if I had that kind of scratch at that age, I don't even want to pretend like I would have been holier than thou or a good person about it.
Oh no.
I would have been a complete train wreck.
Yeah. Well, we all do something, but my big thing with his situation is it's against league policy. So if he gets charged or anything like that with a gun, he's suspended. He's out millions. Because when he went to the strip club and got suspended, it cost him $40 million because he won't make the All-NBA team.
Right. Oh, was that part of his incentive?
That's part of his that's part of his contract.
So hopefully that's a good wake-up for him. But like I said, it's hard for me to crap on anybody that has made a poor decision.
Nobody should ever be surprised that these 22, 23, 24-year-olds do this.
I'm
nobody
almost surprised it doesn't happen more.
Yeah, I mean, because you go back to like Johnny Manziel. I mean, that guy was partying his ass off from the minute he signed that contract on.
If I was Johnny Manziel, I would have made Johnny Manziel look like a pussy. Just saying, I would have been off the hook, dude, at that age.
Yeah.
Just forget it.
You have that kind of money and you're that young and girls are coming at you because they know you have that money. You know, some bad things are going to happen.
Yeah, because I was none of those things with none of that money, and I still got into a shit stack of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I mean, yeah, I mean, I was just starting my career, and I had to think about it. You know, I still wanted to go drinking with friends, but then I realized, you know, one, they post every DUI in the area in the paper, and as an educator, that cannot happen because you are, you know, you're supposed to be a pillar of the damn community, and you cannot be, you know, doing it. I mean I'm taking a risk now, but I'm also 30 years into a career, you know, taking a risk doing any of that kind of stuff anymore. But at this point, you know, I'm getting close to the end, so who gives a shit,
right?
So, okay. Fuck.
You know,
yeah, I just think about, you know, just the time I was in the Marine Corps, if we would have had digital or video cameras, our phones with live stream available then.
Oh, the God almighty.
Put out there.
Oh, like, sweet Jesus.
I don't even know where to begin. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, people think there would be calls a wackadoo. spend 30 minutes with us in the Habu in Okinawa, and they'd be like, what? Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of alcohol, drugs, and nudity. That's all you got.
Yeah, that could have been a party of one. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
Could have been a party of one or a party of seven. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, you know, just going down into some simple street, weighing out, who knows? I mean, it's just, my God.
Yeah, story for a different day. Mm-hmm.
I know you got a one. You probably got 20 of those.
Not walking down the street, no.
No. That's, yeah. You've mentioned a few. You mentioned a few in the past, and I know they're there.
I've got some interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. Hey, so where are we at on our brackets?
I have nobody in the final four.
Hold on, we haven't seen yours yet.
Oh, yeah. You don't need to see anything, dude. I'm at like 7%. My final four was Texas A&M, Gonzaga, Arizona, Kansas.
Oh, so you still got Gonzaga left.
Yeah. Gonzagas are still in.
Yeah. So where are we? Shit. I thought this was the one where we're doing the 40 milligrams.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that what we settled on?
Yeah, that's what I thought we did.
So since Chris didn't get in, I think Chris has to do it by default. And then I think it's down to the three of us, Travis.
I just checked the one that I'm using. I have 21% right. I think three left in the final four.
Yeah, I have 7%.
You got two left in the final four.
Oh, gee, thanks.
I think I have three. Jacob, where are you at?
I got notes here. So I got it down to where I basically I need Texas to make it to the championship game. I think that should do it for me.
Oh, then you think you'd win out?
If they win, I should be all right. If Texas wins at all, I shouldn't win at all. You have Alabama winning. I got Alabama losing the championship. So yeah,
I think we've actually got an important game coming up with Texas and Gonzaga, right?
Yeah. Okay. So there's
yep.
If Gonzaga wins that game, it's over. I'm the champ.
Out of the 16 teams that remain, us three have 11 of them that are the same. So
how do you win then?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm kind of counting you out, Travis, if I'm being honest.
Well, I'm not last, so I don't care.
Well, I'm just saying, I think out of the three of us, that if... Oh, where'd Chris go?
I'm here.
Okay.
He's scared? Oh, I thought he was running
away. So what I'm thinking is, Chris, since he's already... didn't submit the bracket on our official bracket.
I don't know how I didn't, but it was...
But he was... Either way, he was losing, right?
I'm losing my...
So there's 40 there. And then, Travis, I think the loser of the trio here has to do 40. And then we go play golf and... You know, Jacob will be paired up with one and I'll be paired up with the other.
Somebody's going to have to be the designated driver.
Oh, yeah. I'll call us a show. I'll get us.
We might have to get an Uber.
We might have to get an Uber. How are you feeling about that, Travis?
There is no way I am doing that.
What?
Oh,
no. What? No, because I always drink beer when I golf too.
Okay. So, I'm not telling you to forego your passion of Bush Latte. Yeah. I'm saying that's an addition.
Yeah.
Is that an addition by subtraction?
Oh, dude, I'll fall over.
Yeah, no.
No, that's not what we
want. I'm here for you.
Sure. Hey, look, dude. I've been left under a bench at a golf course underneath a bench, and they came back and got me after they were done.
Steve.
It's all right. Just take a nap.
We got you, buddy. We got you.
Yeah, we got you. We won't leave you out there.
If it's at Country View, I'm laying in the creek.
Okay. Okay. We'll keep an eye. If it's rainy, we don't want the water to go over your face, so we'll lay up on the bank.
Right, yeah. There's a flash flood coming. We'll take care of you.
We won't Kennedy you.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
We'll
lock you in the porta potty off of four.
Oh.
So is it settled?
No, I'm not doing that.
You could come back. I mean, Jacob could lose the Texas. Texas could lose to Gonzaga.
Wait, You're making it seem like you have this locked up. You're only
that's what I'm saying. If you beat if Texas beats Gonzaga, I'm kind of screwed. And then if Alabama loses, because I think I have three of the four, right?
Yeah, we both have Alabama and Gonzaga. We also had Marquette, but they're obviously done. But then done. you have Xavier. I got Texas. That's the game. That's the game.
Okay, not Gonzaga, Texas. Xavier, Texas.
Yeah.
Because Xavier, I think, is in my final four, right?
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, so it could still be me, Travis.
I don't know about that.
Okay, I'm going to do another proposal.
I had Duke losing first round, so I missed that one.
Just by one, right?
I had Oral Roberts in the Sweet 16, actually. Mm.
I was going to say
we're not going to talk about that.
The losers, okay, so Chris, I hate to say you're already a loser.
I already gathered that.
So then the loser out of the three of us is also on the hook for 40, or we up it to 60 and we split it however we want to for our team. So then we would each do 10 to start, 10 after half hour, another 10 after half hour, and have a 2v2.
Jesus Christ.
And then this bracket really doesn't matter except
no.
Well,
I'm filling up my bag with Funyuns.
What do you think about that, Jacob? Yay or nay? Or would it be funner to just watch these guys?
Oh no, I'm in. I'm definitely in. Oh yeah.
That a boy.
Then I think me and Jacob against you two.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll beat your ass.
Stop it.
You're pretty fucking confident, man.
dude, I'm going to be so loose. It's not even going to be funny.
He's going to swing like Daly.
I'm going to be going Lee Trevino. I'm going to be going like Lee Trevino on your asses.
We're walking, right?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, that's close. A hell no.
Oh, my God.
That's a hell no. No, not in Tread a video. That'd be rough. Oh,
Jesus. Yeah, like, that's gonna be funny. Somebody's gonna be face down in the middle of a fairway at some point.
Right. Yeah, that's the plan. Me. That's the plan. Hey, well, so today is officially the first day of spring. So golf season is literally just right around the corner. It was a beautiful day today in the upper Midwest. It was I think it got up to 58 degrees, partly cloudy. Mm. It was lovely, absolutely lovely. I'm chomping at the bit. The driving range had folks at it today. I think everybody's geared up and ready to go.
Nice. Yeah. Let's go.
So if we don't have anything else, is that a wrap?
Yeah. I have nothing. All right. I have nothing.
We'll keep it in the short grass.
They touched tips.
I'll bet they did.
I had to do most of the work there.
Yeah. Well,
otherwise you got to get real close to do that.